Hey, everybody, wake up. You're late for school. Stop dreaming about that one lady yelling at you. Hey, everybody, the time is fade down. The time is 6:01 in the p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin.
Not up here, but down here
from the diaphragm. Thank you very much to Charlie for another edition of Around the Town Sounds. Out with the old, in with the new. I'm edgy today.
You are pushing the envelope, my man.
How edgy am I? We're going Thin Lizzy today.
You're pushing the envelope, my man.
Is that Three Kings?
That was an impression of the guy. I don't want to finish this.
What did you do to Michael Jackson, my main man?
Go drink some oil. You made that one dude drink oil.
Yeah. That's what we're going to make you do.
How did that didn't kill him? Let's go back and rewatch
let's watch that.
Okay, let's go rewatch it. Yeah.
All right, but while we're watching that, we're doing Thin Lizzy, Fighting My Way Back, Masked Wedding Show, starting now.
Puppies.
Anyway, the time is 6:05 p.m. You are still listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at KOOP.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hotta.
And my name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, please do. The phone number is area code 512-472-5667. That's 472-KOOP. We're also on Twitter. We are at Mascot Wedding. You tweet it, see it, reads it. Anything said on this show is just the opinion of the person that said it, nobody else. David Hotta, what did we just hear?
We just heard Thin Lizzy, originally off an album that I can't recall, possibly Jailbreak, possibly not. But that was from the Dedication Best Of. It was Fighting My Way Back, because I feel like fighting today.
Yeah. Are you fighting your way back to me, babe?
That's a different song. I can play that. Coming up next, The Four Seasons.
Yeah.
Actually, I believe you fought your way back to us, babe.
Oh, that's right. I wasn't here.
That's right. Welcome back, Mac Blake.
Thank you. I was gone last week.
Yeah.
I was in San Francisco doing some stand-up comedy.
What?
At the inaugural San Francisco Comedy and Burrito Festival. And I will tell you about that on a future show. We had a lot of fun, but got a lot of stories out of it. But I will say this one thing I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Is that there's a person who's been on this show before, Beth Stelling.
Yes.
She has also been on Conan O'Brien.
That's
as
correct.
I like to say, Conan. Yeah. Conan O'Brien. And she was in San Francisco that week, the same time I was, except she was at, I believe, the Punchline, opening up for James Adomian.
Oh, wow.
And so, sorry, I just remember drunkenly saying hi to James Adomian. That story will be for another day as well. And so I saw that she was there, and Beth Stelling came on the show before,
yes.
And she's awesome. And so I was like, Mom, bro comedian, huh? Why don't I throw my weight around and get put on the guest list for that show?
Uh-huh.
So I was like, yeah, Ma. Hey, guys, what are you doing tonight? Uh-huh. I'm going to go check out Beth and James Nomian for free. Because, I call her Beth by her first name because we're friends. I'll do that. Acting like a big man. Anyway, flash forward to Saturday night when I was supposed to go see her. I'm at the Polish Club. Midway through a comedy show waiting for Morgan Murphy to come on, and then I go, oh no, Beth Stelling's show started 30 minutes ago.
Oh no.
And I'm all the way across town. This is after I texted her and told her and asked, and she's like, do you want a ticket? I was like, yeah, if you want. I wasn't texting for that.
Right.
I was. So I had to text this person and tell her that I forgot, totally forgot, like a big dummy. And partially because I feel stupid and bad for that, and partially because it's really awesome, I'm going to give away a copy of, or we are going to give away a copy of her new album,
mm-hmm.
which came out this Tuesday. It is called Sweet Beth. And we have a copy to give away later in the show.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
Put your phone down. Put it down, dum-dum.
Yep. We also have a phone interview coming up with an exciting guest.
Mm-hmm.
David Hotta, something happened this week.
Yeah.
That darkened all of our souls.
It did. And let me tie it into what happened last week. First of all, thank you very much to Scott Rainey for filling in while Mac was gone.
Thank you, Scott. And now get out.
Yeah, get your whiskey shoes on because you're going to go drink some whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the topics last week was which celebrity would make you genuinely sad? Man, I didn't really have an answer. I had a
genuinely
couple.
Sad in general?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Like,
or if they died.
Well, if they died.
Oh, okay.
I feel like I said celebrity death.
Oh, you said celebrity death?
I feel like I did.
Sorry, I thought you just said celebrity.
Yeah, which celebrity makes you sad?
I was like, well, to be honest with you, John Lovitz.
Emo Phillips. but yeah, I think I've got an answer now. That answer is Big Tex.
Big Tex.
Big Tex booted in a Friday morning, and that's sad.
For those who don't know, Big Tex is the... How tall is that guy? Was that guy?
Oh, I believe he was 52 feet.
This 52-foot talking weird... statue thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he can wave too, right?
Yes, yeah, he can.
I don't know what you call a showbiz pizza creation.
He was animatronic.
He's an animatronic cowboy that would stand outside the Texas State Fair, and some guy would talk into a microphone, and thus the voice would be transferred to Big Tex, and he would talk to you.
Yeah.
And he was sponsored by Dickies, but that guy died. He ignited.
Yes, he caught. Did they find out what set him on fire?
An electrical short circuit in his jaw.
Oh my goodness!
Too much yakking.
Same way my grandfather went.
Too much jabbing in his gym. There are pictures online of Big Tex in flames.
Yes,
and there are a couple, by the way, which I will take to my grave. Imagine a 52-foot happy cowboy, and the only thing left, by the way, now is a metal skeleton. His Dickies belt buckle, a good sponsorship, Dickies.
Yeah.
When I think of your clothes now, I will think of nothing but burning.
They'll outlast my mortality. That's my understanding.
And, well, his clothes went up. The only thing left was his belt buckle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, if it's like, if Dickies wants to sell me that their clothes are not flammable, you're going to have to sell me on
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
Because you're already two strikes. And his arms. His arms are the only thing that's left.
Yes.
So there's a couple pictures online. Two are my favorite. Or there's more than a couple, excuse me. Mm-hmm. One is Big Tex is engulfed in flames, and every part of his body is engulfed in flames except his arms and just his eyes, nose, and mouth of his face.
Oh, no thanks.
And then that's terrifying, but then the worst one, the fire has already engulfed his face, but you can still make out a face.
Uh-huh.
So he's like this giant, burning, horrific human torch.
Yes.
But you can still see like the black eyes and like a black mouth where it's just, oh my God. It's like, Cage, welcome to hell!
Yeah, exactly. Like, as I mentioned to you, I think seeing that is going to create several superheroes because, like, oh, I must avenge the death of Big Tex.
Yes.
That my most terrifying image has become my symbol.
There's like this event that just changes people. Yeah. It's like, oh, the day Big Tex burned, I can travel through space and time with Bamfing or something. I don't know. But yeah, Big Tex went up.
Yeah, super sad.
We're trying to find video of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing we found on YouTube was basically two different clips edited together and in a loop.
Okay.
So these two different clips of Big Tex burning, and they're edited in a loop, and they're each like 15 seconds long.
Uh-huh.
Put those two clips together, make it last 3 minutes, and then put that song like Burn It Down by Linkin Park underneath it. And that's what somebody uploaded on YouTube. Like, that was the first video somebody uploaded.
Yeah, first to market on that one.
Yeah. Why?
Because they really like that Linkin Park song. They are jackasses. And that's it. Those are the only two things.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, I'm sorry. They also got Microsoft Video Maker or whatever. Oh, yeah. And they wanted to test that out.
They got Sony Vegas.
Yes. Vegas.
And they wanted to give it a try. Man, but it's so fun. It's funny that he went up at the Texas State Fair, known for like fried foods.
Yes.
Or whatever. It's just like... all these deep fryers and the thing that burns is the giant robot outside.
Yeah, exactly.
That happened.
The biggest calamity is the nicest thing there.
You know what's funny is, so what was your initial, you said, you know, this is a celebrity death that genuinely made you sad. What was your honest reaction when did you find out from me, by the way?
I did find out from you.
Because you're the first person I let know as soon as I found out. Mm-hmm. I have actually never been to Texas State Fair.
Oh, is that right?
That's true, but I've seen Big Tex before. And when I found out, honest reaction, I saw it and I go, oh no, like,
yeah.
That on my computer.
That was about my same reaction, because I've been, I think I went three times, once when I was in college and a couple times outside of it. And Big Tex was always this thing that you acknowledged, but you sort of took it for granted.
Yeah.
Because it was always going to be there.
Big Tex already terrifying, by the way.
Yes, that's true.
Because he's this 52-foot smiling robot. Like, he kind of looked like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yes.
And what ventriloquist dummy isn't already terrifying? Now, make him 52 feet. Now, light him on fire.
Right, exactly. If his feet started moving and terrorizing the city, we would all be done for.
Congratulations, you made something frightening even more frightening, fire.
As it does.
But you're saying you'd see Big Tex, you'd take him for granted.
Yeah, exactly. You're just like, oh, that's the kind of thing, and I know they're going to rebuild him. That's not the issue here.
Make him stronger, faster.
Yes, exactly.
Sponsored by somebody else.
62 feet. And yeah, what? Maybe sponsored by something that's not flammable. Dickies. Can we start doing that? Blame Dickies for this fire?
Yes, I think we can.
But yeah, it was always this sort of thing where it's like, it's going to be there next year or the year after that. I'm always going to see Big Tex. But then you see those pictures, like, you start to think about your own life. You're like, I'm going to get set on fire one day. That's what I took away from that.
It's weird. Like, if you told me, like, a certain team's mascot died, keep in mind, I'd probably have never seen this person's face.
Yeah.
And yet I would be, like, heartbroken.
Mm-hmm.
So it's weird. It's weird because if I was younger, I'd be like, Big Tex, glad he's dead or something like
that.
Which is stupid because I've reached a point where I'd rather not be too cool for things.
Yes.
I'd rather like things. And so they have this stupid 52-foot giant talking thing. But you know what? It's fun.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sorry. What other place has got a 52-foot talking cowboys?
No, I can think of.
I didn't see one at your McDonald's or your Applebee's. Okay.
Robomac, are you okay?
Yeah, I am good. David, why don't you love me? Oh, no. Weird. The show is taking a weird turn.
I never said I didn't.
Fair enough.
How are you, Mac Blake?
I'm doing pretty good. It's nice to have a weekend back in Austin because the previous weekend we were gone as well.
Yes, that's right.
So now I'm back in town for good. You want to call our special guest now?
Yeah, let's do that.
I got to call this guy because I think he lives in Canada.
Oh, my goodness. International rights do apply.
Oh, does it? Ugh. I think he's got a U.S. phone, though.
Oh, good.
There's no way a co-op can afford an international call.
Thank you for coming around.
Let's be honest. All right, let's give this, what do we turn this on, right?
And we'll still be taking a look at the Twitter account, @MascotWedding. If you have questions for us, maybe not for our guest, we'll see.
Is this it? Okay. For people that can memorize phone tones, don't do that right now. Let me see here. Oop. Doop, doop, doop.
Hello?
Is this Brandon?
Yeah.
All right, Brandon, you are on the air.
Oh, great.
Hey, guys, let me give you a proper radio intro, by the way. So after getting a start in adult comics, Brandon Graham wrote and drew the 2008 release King City, an original graphic novel that followed the exploits of a cat master in an insane metropolis. King City saw a rise in his profile and earned him an Eisner nomination. Recently oversaw the relaunch of Rob Liefeld's 90s image book, Prophet. Next week, his new book, Multiple Warheads, comes out from Image Comics to commemorate the launch of Multiple Warheads. He'll be going on a 4-city tour, including right here in Austin, Texas, at Austin Books, Thursday, October 25th from 4 to 7 p.m. Brandon Graham, welcome to the Mascot Wedding Show.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for the introduction.
Oh, no problem.
I'm used to going on things and having to explain myself, and it makes things much harder.
Oh, no. We do it all for you.
Yes. By the way, this is Mac.
And I'm David. Hi.
Hi.
So where are you right now, by the way?
I'm in Vancouver, Canada.
Vancouver, Canada. And you used to be in Seattle?
Yeah, I grew up in Seattle, and I moved up here because I married a Canadian lady.
Is that the law? Do you have to do that?
No, it was easier than shipping her down to the States in a barrel or however people get people down to the States from Canada.
Barrels. You're right. You nailed it the first time.
That's my understanding.
Yeah.
So I will make you do this, though. Multiple Warheads, your book coming out, I believe it's this Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Explain that to people.
It's always difficult to explain my stuff because it ends up like me sounding like a rambling madman, but it's set in a fictional Russia, and it's about a woman who smuggles magical organs and her werewolf boyfriend. It's just kind of them rambling through this kind of fantasy nonsense world with dragons and sphinxes and all these things, and them going to, you know, it's lots of them going to breakfast and going to diners and showing what the kind of mundane would be like in a really fantastic world is what I'm excited about.
You know, that description right there, the sort of the mundane in a fantastic world, I feel like that, I mean, I don't know if it's in mundane, but I feel like that sort of permeates a lot of your work. I like to say, well, first of all, like I'm a big old fan of your stuff.
Well, thank you.
I saw King City, like when it first came out, I bought the Tokyo Pop collection, and I was like, this is awesome. And you do a lot of stuff like this where it's like you sort of break down, like, what's it like living in that world? Like, you'd be flipping around and, you know, there's story pages, and then all of a sudden we get this, like, not quite an infographic, but just something like, what is all in this character's pockets? Like, these sort of, like, world-building lists. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, that stuff's really fun to me. I think a lot of it just comes from, I grew up on all this science fiction and fantasy comic book stuff, but, you know, a lot of that doesn't really relate to your life, and, you know, you get into your 30s, and you're like, you know, I've never actually, you know, had to take down someone in single hand-to-hand combat or anything. And but, you know, I go to a lot of diners, so I could talk about that.
Well,
but, you know, I still have an interest in this stuff. So I want to, and showing those, the diagram things and what's in people's pockets is, it's fun because, you know, I have this thing, I'll read like a Mike Bignola Hellboy comic or whatever, and I'll just be like, you know, with a magnifying glass at the background, looking at the bookshelf, like, oh, I wonder what books they have on here. And of course, I don't think he figured it out, but I love the idea of kind of being able to walk through a fictional world. So when I'm doing my own work, I can just, you know, focus on what's in the background or in someone's pockets or whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you definitely, like, your work definitely has this, like, world feel to it. You know, it's, like, you'll be, your stories will be talking about the characters and what they're doing, and then it'll have a two-page spread, and it'll just be a big city shot with, like, arrows and diagrams pointing to people, people on the street, like, talking, interacting with the main characters. And, I mean, I know the book's called King City, and I know this gets thrown around a lot. Like, people are like, oh, I want the city to be a character. And you're like, sure. But I feel like in King City and also like in your Prophet comics, like the environment really is like there's no other place that the story could be set in.
Yeah, thanks. That's definitely a goal. I mean, it's something fun. I think that might come from a really childish thing of just, I remember being a kid and getting, do you remember the mask toys?
Absolutely. Wasn't it an acronym, mask?
Yeah, I'm not going to remember it at all. I'm all up in Wuzzles today. I was reading about that.
Oh, Wuzzles. Wow. You know some Wuzzles, David.
I know
Rhinoki.
Rhinoki and Bumbalion and some more.
I think I've got a list of them up here still. The one I was most impressed by was the half tiger, half raccoon who's from money, and so they call him Tycoon.
So he's a one percenter is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that tycoon. Yeah. Like, are you talking about the rich guy? No, that half tiger, half raccoon.
Confirm or deny, was there a half elephant, half rhinoceros called Elefino? Sorry.
Actually, I'm actually looking at the list here. Like, wow. What I thought they missed out on was the narrator being a Wuzzle, because I was thinking it could be a narwhal alligator.
Ah, there you go.
But yeah, that's,
Wait, hold on. Does that combine into something?
Narrator.
Oh, I'm stupid.
We're all catching up here today.
But, when I was a kid, I got Boulder Mountain, which was the mask.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mostly just got, you know, I got a tiny allowance every month and would save it up and be able to get an action figure every once in a while. And on Christmas once, I got the Boulder Mountain. And just having the background for these characters to kind of see that, because there was so much like imagining, like, you know, the tree in the backyard is a fort or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just having that, or I don't know, I think I'm obsessed with kind of taking the characters and putting them in their environment. And I always think about the Boulder Mountain thing for some reason.
I grew up on a couple Air Force bases. They'd have, long story short, G.I. Joe toys sort of made their way to me. Right. And I had this, like, one, it was huge. It blew my mind as a kid. It was a space shuttle thing. And if you open it up, like, there's a giant space lab inside where you can put all your G.I. Joes. And there's literally like, 8 seats just in front of computer monitors.
Yes.
Where it's funny because, like, as a kid, you probably just want to have your characters, like, blast each other and die and, you know, and murder each other, whatever.
Right.
But if you put them in these, like, little computer modules, you probably have to, like, give them work to do.
Yeah.
And then so you're like, I'm a project manager.
Right. We put them into space, and Snake Eyes suddenly have to do his taxes all day.
Yeah. Monitor these feeds. How can we do this better? Make a PowerPoint.
Yeah. It's, well, I wonder if there's a disconnect where the people making the toys are just like, oh, God, what do I do with these? What do I do with all these seats? Monitors, I guess. And then the kids are just like, I just want more missiles.
Yeah. Am I monitoring missiles? You wish, Snake Eyes. Also, how can you talk? It's funny, too, because, like, if you're a kid and you get a mask toy, which is like, it's a truck that turns into a truck with missiles, you're like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But, like, from an adult's perspective, it's like, hey, guys, we're creating an elite fighting force. What cars do you drive? We'll just change those.
Yeah.
Yeah, that does. Yeah, they're not very realistic. And they're also, like, a lot of the mask vehicles were things that would get pulled over very quickly.
Uh-huh.
here's a ridiculous-looking, like, you know, bright red car with mask painted on the side of it, you know, so you can be covert, no one will spot you.
if like a cop pulled that guy over and he saw him just like wearing a helmet and full gear, I wonder if he would just be like, you know what? Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Future militia.
Yeah, exactly.
Go right on by.
This guy's got secession written all over him.
Yeah, the mask guys, you don't want to mess with them.
So it's funny, you're talking about like, you know, lists and sort of world building. You recently took over Prophet, which was like this 1990s, like, super generic super soldier book that Rob Liefeld created.
Yeah, it was very surreal. I kind of just fell into it, and it's been a really interesting experiment to kind of see where I can take this comic and kind of play with the ideas, because a lot of it hasn't shown up yet, but I've been actually digging into old Rob Liefeld comics and pulling characters out that would be alive in the far, far future of Prophet. I should explain what it's about. It was this more generic super soldier. I think the initial idea was that Liefeld was making he wanted to make a biblical superhero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the original guy, his main thing is that he would be constantly reincarnated and go through time and everything, but he'd always have the Bible implanted in him.
Okay.
Which made him kind of seem like a crazy person because he was beating people up and quoting the Bible all the time.
Yes. That would make you seem like a crazy person now.
Yeah. So I don't, and I love superhero comics, but I don't really do them. So when they offered it to me, I kind of had to take it and make it more of a Space Conan thing, because that's something that I could relate to more.
Yeah, it's definitely like the super fun, like you just said, like a space barbarian.
Yeah, yeah.
My question to you is, have they been supportive of the direction you're taking it, or was there some pushback? Because it definitely is a different direction from that sort of Stephen Platt splash page kind of aesthetic they were going for in the 90s.
Yeah, how well can I draw this vein that's like 4 foot off a bicep?
So it's been a smooth process?
A well-drawn vein.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Yeah. But they actually, when they initially told me, I was drinking at the time. We were at a bar, and when they initially said, why don't you do Prophet? I was like, oh, no way.
That's the perfect drinking conversation.
Yeah. Well, I have a thing where I really love taking existing comic, kind of like, I always say, call it my fantasy football, where I'll take comic books that exist and I'll be like, well, what would I want to do with this thing? And like recently I was joking around and came up with a version of Gen 13 where I was like, let's cut out all the male characters and replace them with Static from Milestone in Brainiac 5. For me, that would be like more fun to work with.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm surprised that that didn't pay off. Like, let's have a character in the 90s and call him Grunge. This will age well.
Yeah, exactly.
But one of this cracked me up in Prophet, because like all those like 90s superhero comics, a lot of them that Liefeld did, they had like just, you know, belts around their like calves and around everywhere of just like little pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And they never like told you what's in those pockets. And in the first issue, I think issue 21 of Prophet that you and Simon Roy did, there's like a detail of what is in his pockets. And just, I don't know why, I thought that was hilarious. And maybe it's just a very much a comic book like laugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. But I mean, you're also, speaking of Simon Roy, you're working with artists. I mean, you did draw one issue, I believe, right?
Yeah, I drew one issue and all of two pages in the new issue that's coming out next week. But mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly it's really collaborative, which is different for me.
Yeah, what is that like in terms of working your process with
it's
an artist?
It's fun. Basically, I'd been on the other side of that a lot, where I was doing the art off of scripts, and I always found it kind of frustrating because it was like this weird puzzle where somebody gives you their story and you're like, how do I fit this in these, you know, it'd be very specific directions, like draw this guy's left hand grabbing this knife or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So when I work with the artist, it was much more the way the old Marvel style would work, where you tell someone basically what needs to happen and they figure out the visuals of it, and then you go back and kind of talk about the way that the words can assist the pictures rather than the pictures assisting the words.
Yeah, and I mean, you got a real awesome stable of artists working with you.
Yeah, I just pulled in my friends. I've got Yanni Milo Giannis.
Thank you for saying that, because I was looking at it, like, there's no way this is just Giannis. Like, I don't know how you say that. Feral Dalrymple as well,
for
right?
A long time before actually talking to him.
Oh, really?
like the smooth musician.
Sure.
Yeah, you guys are fans.
Oh yes, of course.
But he's doing it. And then Simon Roy that you mentioned, and then my friend Feral Dalrymple. But it's, I always joke that Simon is the only one with a reasonable name.
Yeah, the rest of them sound like pen names.
Yeah.
Yeah, Feral Dalrymple sounds like somebody, a name somebody give their stuffed animal. Like, this is Feral Dalrymple, and he's got like a top hat on or something.
Yeah, I met him in 99, and my first, I don't know why this was, I thought it was acceptable at the time, but my first inclination on meeting him was to make fun of his name for about half an hour.
And you and Mac have a lot in common.
And I think back on that, and I'm just like, why is he still friends with me?
Yeah.
People like when you just rip on them constantly.
Yeah, that's usually how you endear yourself to people.
Yeah.
So this multiple warheads launch tour you're going on, this thing is kind of like a whirlwind pace. Like, you're 4 cities, 4 days, and they are not close to each other.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, it sounds difficult in the sense of, you know, it's going to be me on an airplane and in a comic store all the time. But at the same time, it should. I'm really looking forward to it. It should be fun.
So, what was the impetus for the tour?
It really happened kind of because of the comic stores that I've been dealing with. The Beach Ball Comics in Anaheim set it up, I think, and I was originally just going to go down to that store for the launch, and then they sent me an email. It was like, or do you want to see how much your immune system can hold up and go to all these comics? And it's great because I kind of hide up here in Canada, and I don't get to see much of the country or a lot of the people reading my stuff, and so there's always this disconnect because, you know, the last time I've traveled around a lot, but when I did, nobody cared about my work as much. And now that I've got some attention, it's really nice, but I haven't met any of the people or seen, you know, kind of the scenes going on in comics in different cities. So I'm really excited about that, as much as I'll see each one for about 2 hours before I'm rushed back to a plane.
Sure.
Just, and this is kind of a neither here nor there question, but are you flying in the morning or at night?
I'm not sure. I think it's in the morning.
Okay.
I think it's probably like early in the morning every day. And I'm excited to see Austin a lot, or what little bit I'll see Austin, because I'd been there before, but I'd spent a weekend in the, basically in a hotel in the airport when I was a teenager.
Okay.
It is, you're coming at a really good time. It's not like a second sun right now. It's temperature-wise, pretty smooth.
Yes, it's lovely weather.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
And then, so Multiple Warheads comes. This is a book you actually did first released when, like 2009, right?
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, 2000, maybe even earlier, 2008. But yeah, it was a, it's kind of been something I've been puttering around with for years. I did adult comics for a while, and I had lots of freedom in those, mm-hmm. as much as they had to have, you know, the gist of adult comics in them. And that's where I came up with the characters for this. And then when I was allowed to, when I did more short stories and things, I was like, oh, I like these characters, and I could move them beyond, you know, just them taking their pants off and do more with them. So I've been kind of trying to show more of the world and kind of build them from there.
Mm.
It wasn't the story that this Oregon smuggler brought home a werewolf's penis and grafted it onto her boyfriend who then became a werewolf?
Yeah, yeah. And it's completely ridiculous. I've been trying to turn that into a reasonable story with that as the beginning.
Yeah.
Sounds reasonable enough.
Yeah.
For me.
He turned into a werewolf because he's got a wolf's penis.
Yes.
I like it. Well, Brandon, before you go, it seems like you're pretty busy with your own stuff. What are you reading these days?
I read a lot of old comics. I just came back from a store and got a stack. I just got the Savage Sword of Conan collection.
Mm.
Oh, you know what? I should mention also, your blog posts are amazing.
Well,
they're like these giant mashups of like stuff you're reading now, stuff you've like drawn over or whatever, and like old like 1980s, like maybe not even translated in Japanese comics, and it's pretty great stuff.
Yeah, I dig up a bunch of weird stuff always. I'm kind of obsessed with finding obscure comics, and there's lots of good comic stores here in Vancouver, so I'm always able to dig up lots of stuff, and I've got a stack as tall as I am of things I need to read still. But there's sort of stuff coming out. I'm really into Empowered, the Adam Warren book.
Oh, yeah.
He's kind of superhero joke comic. And Finder, if you guys have read that, the Carlos B. McNeil book is really good.
I have not read that, no.
It's very much coming from the same kind of world-building thing that I try to do.
Awesome. And Brandon, once again, you'll be in Austin this Thursday, October 25th, at Austin Books from 4 to 7 p.m.
Yeah, and I'll be doing drawings for anyone that shows up, as long as my hand holds up.
That sounds good. And Multiple Warheads, it comes out this Wednesday from Image Comics. Check your local retailer. Brandon Graham, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yes, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks a lot for talking to me.
You bet.
No problem. Right. Have a good day.
Bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Boom.
Mac, you did great on that.
Look at that. It took me 5 minutes. How exciting was that, guys?
That was really great.
That was pretty cool. That guy's a really cool guy.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I took a look, or I read an issue of Multiple Warheads today that you loaned to me.
Uh-huh.
And it's super accessible. Like, I'm always worried about, because I've been away from comic books for so long, and I'm afraid of jumping into any sort of universe, but mm-hmm. it was such a fun read. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, King City and Multiple Warheads, the Brandon Graham style comics, and honestly, I didn't want to do this on the phone with him, but it's like, if you were like, what are his comics like?
Uh-huh.
They're kind of like this, like, I feel like this sort of weird graffiti-inspired Amerimanga or something like this. So, like, this...
Thank God you didn't do that.
Yeah, because I feel like that's kind of, well, you know, when you, like, describe someone's music to absolutely insulting. But, I mean, the art is just... And they're, another way to describe it is they're super fun.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if you read a Brandon Graham comic, it would sort of be a litmus test for whether or not you like comics.
Yeah.
Because it's fun without being stupid, and it really maximizes, I think, the art form.
Yeah, and it's the kind that you could just, like, if you had a stack of them in front of you, you could plow through them in an afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they do, I mean, they use them, they do stuff in with comics that you can't do in, like, movies or TV. So it really makes use of it, and it's fun.
Yeah.
And he's obviously a really cool guy.
And he'll be here the 25th.
So. I don't know if you could hear it, but he's got an elephant tattooed on his neck.
What?
What's coming through the phone?
I missed that.
Well, check your ears.
You know what? I will.
Do you want to take a break and we'll power through?
It's, you know what? It's your call.
Let's power through.
Let's do it.
We got a topic.
Yeah.
Today I want to tell people about, and maybe tell you what the first person that calls in to do the topic, give us something for this topic. We'll also give you a Beth Stelling CD, her new album, Sweet Beth. So David and I, we were not here 2 weeks ago. We both missed a show because we were touring with a sketch comedy group in Portland and Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
So, David, let me know if you remember this.
Okay.
We're driving along, and we pass a theater.
Yes.
A fancy theater. In fact, I even know the name of it. Did I write it down? No. Oh, sorry. It was a concert hall.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, it's not a theater.
Not a theater. It's a concert hall. Can we take it back? Designation's important. I feel like that's a more upscale theater.
Yeah, absolutely.
Theater.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
On the marquee, it said the Portland Fashion and Style Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And standing outside, David, were a lot of ladies and very pretty dresses.
Yes, gowns even.
Yes, thank you. Like floor length gowns.
Sequined and beaded and whatnots.
Oh, each one more magical than the next.
That's right.
And then right next to these ladies was the Oregon Duck.
That's right.
If you don't know who the Oregon Duck is, it is the mascot of the University of Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, if that doesn't help, it is a duck. And in fact, picture a Donald Duck, guy in a Donald Duck costume. And now picture that duck being a different kind of duck. Or, excuse me, a different kind of sailor.
Yes, there it is.
Like a green Boy Scouts uniform or something like that.
A different division of the Navy.
Yeah, it's like the Signal Corps or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that is the Oregon Duck. And it's weird just because it's like, oh, hey, good news, everybody. Oh, I'm reading some tweets
now. Yeah.
Regular Karate says, here's a topic. Big Tech's fire was an intentional publicity stunt. Fru Dickies.
Yes. 919 was an inside job. 1019. Oh.
I don't like it.
I was a month off. That's where I am in life right now.
If that's the best celebrity you could get at your fashion and style awards, this guy in a giant football duck costume,
yeah.
If that's the best celebrity you can get, how about no celebrity? As our friend Andrew Rosa put it, hey guys, bad news. The only celebrity I could get for the fashion style awards was the Oregon Duck. Good news, though, I didn't book him. But instead, they did book him.
Yeah, which made me wonder, was he just there to greet people outside, like this little fat boy in a sailor suit? Or was he there to, like, present an award or hand out the award?
Yeah, because he's, look, now, honestly, it's funny that he should be there, though, because the Oregon football team, uh-huh, because of their, they're in the pocket of Big Nike.
Yes.
Because that's where Phil Knight went to school, that monster. He takes a personal interest or whatever Nike does.
Right.
In redesigning the Oregon football uniforms. And so they have actually really cool, I think they're cool, at least.
They certainly have a lot of them.
They're on the they're fashion plates, almost you'd call them.
Yes.
In terms of football teams, they are a clothes horse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost appropriate, but he's there. But yeah, he's like, they fashion style. Can't even do the duck voice. Have you heard Donald Duck speak, by the way?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is terrifying.
If he tries to sustain a sentence, because all I've ever heard is like, Razza Frazza, if like Chip and Dale go through his trash.
Can you do an impression of it? I can't. I just tried and it sounded like I got stabbed in the throat. That's pretty good.
Yeah, thank you. I know what I'm doing.
Is that something anyone wants to listen to? Right. This was a beloved icon of children's entertainment.
Yeah, but then again, like if the Oregon Duck were presenting an award, you'd kind of prefer that voice than like if he puts on those sort of half glass and... Fashion has been around for thousands of years. Like, no! No, duck!
What is fashion? Can anyone define it? Also, quack quack.
Also, quack quack.
So, yeah, the fashion and style awards. But here's the other thing, too. It's like you said, he wasn't just hanging out and being like, hey, guys, can I come in? People were loving him.
Vamping. He was absolutely vamping.
As we were passing by, he was getting his photo taken with like four different just gorgeous decked out ladies.
Yes.
Almost like some sort of waterfowl-based manager of a stable of prostitutes. Yeah. I don't know. Is there a word for that?
Exactly. He was like if Robert Goulet was the judge of a regional Miss Texas pageant, where he's like,
wow,
these ladies.
Well done, by
thank
the way.
You. Thank you very
you
much.
You are pretty good at that. And so it brings me to say, is this the best you can do? Is this the best you can do? So if there's been situations where you saw something and you go, oh, guys, is this the best you could do?
Oh, man.
Alternate topic? Really, guys? How about that? We'll just knock it down to the topic is, really, guys? Like a situation where you made you say, really, guys?
Yes.
472-5667 is to call in. You can also tweet at us, at Mascot Wedding. And the first person that has a good example of really, guys, you'll get that best-selling album, yes. Sweet Beth.
And in the meantime, we'd also like to say hi to at Sumscar or Sumscar.
Carolyn Soames.
Okay. Yes, who says...
Sorry, that's your last name. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's all right. New favorite radio show, 91.7 Co-op, at Mascot Wedding. Thank you for listening, Carolyn.
That's right. What was your old favorite radio show? It doesn't matter. It's in the past.
That's right. Don't look back. We're here now. Man, I wish I had been tipped on this topic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I feel like I've got stuff, but I just don't have stuff.
Well, you got stuff that could be like, really, guys.
It's
pretty generic.
My life is really good.
It's also just kind of complaining. Like the best topics are.
Oh, man. Let's go digging through the old email draft then. I've got some stuff.
Oh, Portland. But I had a good time in Portland.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Portland was fun. And we caught it at the time where the weather was just right. Like, because you hear Portland and Seattle both are just rainy and miserable. But it had not a cloud in the sky. It was lush. Pretty stuff. Pretty stuff.
I feel like I was tricked almost in a way about how nice it was.
Uh-huh. Oh, you know what? Here we go.
Yeah.
Here's me complaining. So have you been keeping up with the presidential election at all?
I watched the last debate.
Okay.
Which is weird. I felt like I did something.
Yeah, exactly. That's proxy voting,
like,
right?
I turned off the debate and I go, good for you, Mac.
Now I'm just going to drink this potion and sleep till December. I did it. But, I'm not going to get political here. But the debates are what they are. What they are apparently is fodder for comedians online. So when Mitt Romney uttered the phrase "binders full of women,"
yep.
it became a punchline immediately, and it stopped becoming a punchline 3 hours later. Like, we as a society are burning through jokes right now.
Oh my god, I feel like there's people with pictures of the presidents right now, all queued up. They got Impact on bold with a drop shadow, and they're just waiting to just churn out a meme.
Yes, exactly. So is this the best you can do, guys? Exactly, Impact font on some things. Come on, guys, be better. Oh, and let me kill everything right now. You guys working on the binders full of women costume? I already said it out loud. It's not original. So you can't make yourself a binder and hug women and make yourself a binder full of women. Done, stupid. Stop it.
When you're dressed like a binder, oh, man. I'll tell you right now. If anyone's mm-hmm. listening to this and you're out during Halloween, and I'm just talking to the children because adults don't dress up anymore.
Yes.
If you see someone dressed like a binder full of women, like that's their costume, and they meet another person with the same costume, I will pay you $25 for that photograph. $25 Mascot Wedding dollars.
That is, yes, that's 50 chip clips.
But yeah, but seriously, really, guys?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Really, guys?
Come on, you can do better.
It's funny, though, because no, it is like, it's a different way of like watching the debates, because in the past, it's like, oh, the media, all they want is like soundbite politics.
Uh-huh.
Like, Joe just waiting for a phrase to like take out of context and be like, Mitt Romney wants to put women inside binders, you know, like that kind
yeah,
of thing.
Exactly.
It clearly doesn't. All right, well, cards on the table. That was a super weird comment.
It was.
Go ahead.
It was the comment of someone completely out of touch. Like, that was the gender equivalent of all my friends are black. Like,
yeah.
It was like, all right, I've got binders full of women that I can hire.
I was trying to fill out my cabinet, and I was like, oh, gosh, there's not a lot of women in here. I was like, really? Is that what he said? Is that a direct quote? And then he's like, yeah, but people don't understand about hiring women that sometimes they got to go home and feed their kids. Yep. Thanks, Mitt Romney.
You get it.
You did it.
Romney 2012.
Yeah. Oh, let's.
Don't mislead
me. Oh, yeah. We're huge into Romney.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Romnaniacs or whatever.
Exactly. We have Romnesia, except the good kind.
Exactly.
Yeah, whatever. Good boy. But yeah, it was super weird. But now it's like people are like waiting just for any comment they could pull out of context and make into like a meme or a joke.
Oh, absolutely.
And it is weird.
And it stinks too, because like, if I hear Binders Full of Women on today, on Saturday, it just like, oh, really, guys? We haven't even had enough time in the cycle to see like a delightful SNL parody of it or something, or like see it become a greeting card. Like we have been denied the natural progression of a joke now, and I'm kind of bummed out about that.
Yeah. I mean, no, we are like burning through things really quick. Like if a movie comes out like Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
That movie hasn't even, it's not even on video yet.
Yeah.
But I feel like if you're like, oh, hey, I just came with a video. It's like Bane's answering machine or something like that.
Yeah.
I feel like even now people are like, really?
Yeah, exactly. I can't do anything with this Leon Redbane character that I have. It's just sitting there and I can't do anything because y'all killed it.
Can I hear a little Leon Redbane?
Strikes on the China. Never mounted before.
Well, let's pot you up.
Okay.
All right, Leon Redbane.
When you dropped, kick your jacket as you came through the door. No one glared.
There we go.
Leon Redbane.
Leon Redbane.
How hard was that, guys?
You guys like your Mad Magazine called. Oh, looking for new editor-in-chief, David. Is that magazine still around?
It is. It does quarterly now.
There's a friend of the show, Joe Parsons, who's really into crack.com.
Yeah, yeah.
And all their dumb lists.
Yes.
And it's like, man, I don't know. I think you could put like Will Ferrell, Adam McKay, that dude who does The Thick of It.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
Armando Iannucci.
Yes.
Yes. Who also worked on
Veep and Alan Partridge.
Alan Partridge, yeah. You could put that guy, Steve Coogan, on it. I still would be like, this was a magazine. It used to be a weird second rate.
Yeah.
Mad, which, although, you know what? I criticize so many people for not evolving or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, good on them.
Like Newsweek. Mm-hmm. Newsweek is folding down its publication.
Yes.
Like its print publication. And it's like, man, really? Like, you had the same opportunity anyone else had on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
And you did not take it. Like Blockbuster Video. Mm-hmm. Really, guys? I would say Blockbuster Video trying to shoehorn it into the topic of the show.
Yeah.
You know, Blockbuster Video just, like, refused to anticipate their own demise. Although, I mean, come on. It's not like I'm at home, like, inventing Redbox.
No, exactly.
You know, but I shouldn't.
But at the same time, they can't. And I think we've talked about this on the show before because I am fascinated by the downfall of Blockbuster Video. But to look at their business model and the things and the practices they implemented, where it was like, I don't know where we went wrong, guys. Like, everyone used to love coming into Blockbuster Friday evening directly after work and waiting around for someone who rented a movie on a Thursday to return it so that they can rent it.
Exactly.
What happened, guys?
They don't want to be able to tell instantly if a video is there or not. They want to go check under every box.
Uh-huh.
And then they'll take it up. And if it's not there, and they'll ask the person. And they'll be go, oh, let me check. And then, like you just said, they'll say, oh, it's due back at 7. They'll sit around, wait around for it to happen.
Yeah. I feel like people appreciated being charged for rewinding fees. It kept everyone honest.
Time out. Really? Yeah.
No, I'm being I'm being silly.
No. But wait, were there rewinding fees?
Oh, they absolutely were.
Oh, my God, Blockbuster.
Yeah. They would charge you if there was like 10 minutes, if you had not rewound all the way, they would charge you.
Hey, here's this new format. It's called DVD. It's a small disc. It's kind of almost impossible to damage unless you physically scratch it yourself. Like, you know, physically take a knife or the side of a broken quarter and go to town on it. I bet this will keep things the exact same.
Yeah, exactly.
Or maybe I am ripping on Blockbuster Video.
I mean, they lowered the retail price so that people could buy it, but I think people are really going to appreciate the $100 retail price for video cassettes.
Okay, nobody has responded to the topic. I don't want to not give away this album. It's really funny. I did not properly preview it in order to see which albums or which tracks do not have profanity on them.
Yes.
But if you call 472-5667, I will give you a copy of this album. 472-5667 is the number to call.
Is that the right? Oh, that is the right number.
That is the right number. It's posted right there.
Okay.
They left it up from our membership drive, which I thank God that they did.
Yes.
By the way, if you're tuning in to the Mascot Wedding Show, my name's Mac.
My name's David.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we've been plowing through. It's been we had a really good show today.
A whirlwind show.
Yeah.
Oh, big text pointing out for that guy.
That's right. We're doing it for you, big guy. 52 minutes. That's a minute for every foot. And then we're taking 8 minutes off.
I like it. we need to play some announcements in the show. This show's almost over.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
472-5667. No one has called to win this album.
Nobody has.
I know. What is up with you? It's a funny album.
Is this the best you can do? Whoa, call back.
Beth Stelling, more like Best Selling.
Best Selling?
I don't know. Someone said that earlier and it seemed to work.
It was good. Bring that person in who said it.
By the way, I pre-ordered this album. You know what came in the package?
What's that?
The two pieces of Laffy Taffy. I'm not even joking.
That's salesmanship right there.
It is. And I ate them and enjoyed them. That's what I did. KOOP, you're on the air.
Hey, guys.
Hey, who's this?
This is Tim.
Tim, where are you calling from, Tim?
Really, you guys? I'm calling from my car.
You're calling from where is your car located?
I'm driving like Steve McQueen.
This guy's high out of his mind.
Are you taking hills at top speed and just not touching ground for 100 feet?
Catching some air. In Dreaded North Austin, as a matter of fact.
In what?
Dreaded North Austin, DNA.
Oh, Dreaded North Austin.
I love North Austin.
So, Tim. How's it going today, Tim?
I'm feeling a little upright and dangerous. I pulled over. You're safe now, guys.
Okay, good. Because your phone is a little wobbly.
Yes, yes.
So, Tim, do you know who Beth Stelling is?
I'm sorry, who?
Beth Stelling.
Beth Stelling?
Beth Stelling, the person whose CD we're giving away?
Oh, have absolutely no idea.
Well, are you a fan of comedy, Tim?
Just the opportunity to win something in comedy, absolutely.
Well, then you are in luck because this album, Sweet Beth, is really great. David, do you have any questions for Tim?
Tim, what's your deal?
Be honest with us, Tim. Yeah, do not lie to us.
What? Hold on. Well, no, I'll make it more specific. What have you been doing today, Tim?
Today?
Yes.
Little yard work.
Mm-hmm.
Actually went to the gymnasium.
Oh. Did you toss around a medicine ball?
No medicine ball, but I did roll on the foam tube thing.
Kettlebells? Doing kettlebells?
No kettlebells.
You got to do kettlebells. Got to work your core.
A little steam.
Ugh, I don't like this guy.
Then I went over to the Black Star. This is not a call to action, but I had a beer and played myself in darts on left and right hand.
You are a weird one, Tim.
Thank you.
All right.
All right, I have one more question for you, Tim. What are you going as for Halloween, if you're going as anything for Halloween?
Well, I had my eye on that crazy Thomas Brown Pee Wee Herman fashion thing he did.
Brown Pee Wee Herman fashion thing.
It's not, it was a crazy looking piece of men's fashion with a like an egg-shaped body. I think there were shoulder pads, and it was plaid, and the plaid gloves, plaid pants.
Hey, let's give away the CD next week.
Hey, Tim. Tim, David doesn't want to give you the album. I might, but I want you to make me a promise, Tim. Can you make me a promise?
Well,
Tim, that's not what I want to hear. Can you make me a promise?
Well, I'll try.
Just say yes, Tim.
Yes!
If I give you this album, will you promise not to kill me and or David?
I will never put you down.
All right, Tim, we'll tell you what. I'll give you the album. Can you hold on a second, though?
Yep.
I'm going to put you on hold, and I will get your address off the air. How does that sound? Does that sound okay?
I'm with you.
All right, so I will talk to you in a second. Oh, my God, that guy's scary.
You got to learn to read people, Mac.
What? I don't want to not give away the album. I feel bad for
sure, people. I understand. I understand completely.
Tell you what, let's get out of here.
Let's do it. Let's get out of here. For more information about Mascot Wedding, including archives of past shows and information about various night jobs and side gigs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. Email us, mascotwedding@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, @mascotwedding. Mac, what are we going out with?
We're going out with Sky Ferreira, I believe is how you pronounce her name. She had a new EP drop this week, Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
This is Lost in My Bedroom. By the way, the new Beth Stelling album is called Sweet Beth. It's out on Rooftop Comedy Records, if you'd like to check that out. Brandon Graham. Royal Boiler is something you could search for. He will also be in Austin this Thursday at Austin Books from 4 to 7 in the p.m. David Hodd, good show.
Great show. Goodbye, Mac.
Goodbye, David.
Clear Spot coming up next. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
It's just what I imagine.